DBHDD is warning all Georgians that half of all opioid deaths happen at home when people take an oxy or a perk with a glass of alcohol for stress or to sleep. Learn more about protecting families from opioid overdoses at opioidresponse.info.
Hello and welcome to the Georgia Today podcast from GPB News. On this podcast, you'll hear the latest reports from our GPB newsroom. You can send us story tips or feedback to georgiatoday@gpb.org. Today is Friday, March 14th. I'm Orlando Montoya. On today's episode, the debate over lawsuit reform heats up at the state capitol. A bill limiting liability for pesticide manufacturers passes the House. And Georgia Film Week celebrates contributions of the state's growing film industry.
In our biggest year in the last 3 years, we were doing $4 billion in production.
These stories and more are coming up on this edition of Georgia Today. The debate over lawsuit reform bills at the state capitol is heating up. GPB's Sarah Callis reports that advocates on both sides of the issue spoke about it yesterday.
Two bills that would limit lawsuits in Georgia are making their way through the House after passing the Senate. Governor Brian Kemp said that lawsuit reform was his top legislative priority, and business leaders like Michael Edwards of Mannington Mills Flooring Company say that the cost of lawsuits are burdening businesses.
Businesses are at a constant risk of being sued, even when we abide by all the rules.
But some say the law is too broad and could stop people like Melanie Martinez, a sex trafficking survivor, from seeking damages against people like hotel owners who knowingly allow crimes to occur on their property. She says civil lawsuits can help survivors get justice.
We finally have a voice, and now these settlements allow women like myself to rebuild themselves, to find out who God created them to truly be.
Senate Bills 68 and 69 have not yet made it to the House floor for final passage. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis at the State Capitol.
The Georgia House of Representatives gave final passage to a bill that prevents manufacturers from being held liable for failing to warn consumers about the health risks of a pesticide other than what is required from the Environmental Protection Agency. Proponents of Senate Bill 144, like Representative Robert Dickey, say that by strengthening protections for pesticide makers, farmers will have access to more materials and will be able to make more food.
You think egg prices went up? You wait till we can't get food in this country.
But opponents like Representative Rua Roman says it puts consumers' health at risk.
I refuse to be used by a corporation as a shield for the consequences of their actions.
The bill passed 101-58 and now moves to Governor Brian Kemp's desk for his signature. Issues surrounding the new city of Mulberry were debated again Thursday in the State House. Senate Bill 139 would allow the city of Mulberry to annex additional land from unincorporated Gwinnett County. Democrats opposed the measure, saying residents should have a say before becoming part of Mulberry. Representative Sam Park says the impact will be felt countywide.
Well, annexation impacts every single citizen of Gwinnett County. It impacts every single legislator who represents and is a member of the Gwinnett delegation, because it is county money that is otherwise being taken away.
Republicans pushed for the expansion, arguing it promotes local growth. The measure passed along party lines. Grammy-nominated R&B singer Angie Stone was remembered at a memorial service in Atlanta today. Stone died earlier this month when the cargo van she was traveling in flipped over in a crash south of Montgomery, Alabama, as she was headed back to Atlanta. The Columbia, South Carolina native was known for groundbreaking work with the hip-hop trio The Sequence, and later she had R&B hits, earning her the title of Queen of Neo Soul. Fans and fellow artists continue to pay tribute to her online, honoring her influence across soul, R&B, and hip-hop music. Georgia residents should be prepared for severe weather this weekend. Storms will start on Saturday afternoon and intensify into the evening, bringing threats of damaging winds and possibly tornadoes. A line of storms will move across the entire state overnight on Saturday into Sunday morning. Ty Vaughn is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Peachtree City.
All of the ingredients are there for, you know, a pretty significant severe weather outbreak. And with that does come the risk of some potentially strong to dangerous tornadoes.
Western Georgia at the Alabama line is at the highest risk of severe weather, but the entire state is under some kind of severe weather watch. Forecasters say it's too early to pinpoint exact tornado risks, but they urge all Georgians to have multiple ways to receive weather alerts and stay aware of changing conditions. GPB's Grant Blankenship has more.
Hi, how are you? Are you just doing one for your household?
Forecast coincided with plans by Macon-Bibb County's Emergency Management Agency to disperse close to 2,000 emergency weather radios paid for through a grant from FEMA.
Is she blind or hard of hearing?
Alexis Jolly was one of the people who lined up in Macon City Hall for a radio.
Because we like to be aware when bad weather is coming, and most bad weather nowadays comes while we're asleep, so we want to be awakened.
The radios came with add-ons like flashing strobe lights or extra loud speakers for people who need extra help waking up.
No? Okay.
GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Macon.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.
Wayfair plans to open a 150-square-foot store in Atlanta next year. The company will sell furniture, home decor, housewares, and appliances at the new location on Howell Mill Road. This is Wayfair's second large-format location after opening a store in Illinois in 2024. The online company says it hopes to bridge the gap between online and in-store convenience, with their store locations offering many items available for purchase and take-home the same day. Georgia Film Week, recognizing the contributions of people working in the state's growing entertainment industry, will start on Monday. GPB's Amanda Andrews reports this year's celebration is expected to be the largest one yet.
The City of Atlanta's annual Georgia Film Day party will be preceded by a week of events recognizing entertainment industry workers. The new events include an independent filmmaker panel, information about unions, and a legislator meet and greet organized by the Georgia Production Partnership, a film industry advocacy group. GPP President Darius Evans says Film Week is about celebrating the economic growth in Georgia since the film office was founded 50 years ago.
We were doing 2 to 3 films a year, making about $500 to $2 million a year to where we are now, where in our biggest year in the last 3 years, we were doing $4 billion in production.
Around 400 people are expected to attend this year's March 20th Film Day celebration at Atlanta City Hall. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
The public television adventure photography program Viewfinders is releasing its third season soon. Last season, the Georgia-produced show saw episodes from across the state, including Tallulah Gorge, Cloudland Canyon, and Georgia's coast. To learn more about Viewfinders and where viewers can expect to go this season, we're joined by its two co-hosts, Georgia College professor, author, and award-winning photographer Chris Greer, and Atlanta-based freelance photographer Paul Daniel, welcome to the radio side of GPB, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yes, wonderful to be here.
Well, we hope listeners have seen Viewfinders on GPB TV, but if not, talk a little bit about the show. It's a little bit of travel, a little bit of music, beautiful pictures, kind of all combined.
Yeah, I mean, the show, I think it has a little something for everybody. It's a travel show at its core. Paul and I are heading out to the most beautiful places eventually in the world. We've been doing the Southeast and now the United States, and we're looking to take pictures. And along the way, we have a lot of adventures, and we meet with experts who we interview, and they talk about the ecological significance and also the conservation efforts to protect those places. And then we have some really good music that just kind of scores the show.
I think we have to kind of stress that music factor, because I think we got some really hip music, if I can still use that term.
Your kids might take issue with it, but yeah.
I'm old, I'm sorry. But I think it brings another interest factor to the show. I mean, it's music that you would normally hear on the radio, and it's if you ask me, I think it might be something that's different and maybe new for GPB.
Yeah, very excited about this season.
And you guys shoot together in these remote settings. What's it like working with each other out there for days and hours on end?
You know something? I like working with Chris. He's a good person. And the fact that he can work with me, because we leave like very early in the morning, and I'll be honest with you, I am not a morning person. I am like so not a morning person. And I think our personalities are, you know, he likes coffee. We shoot photography together. Our personalities kind of mesh, you know, well together. So I think there's a good chemistry there.
Is there a destination that you'd like to visit, but you haven't yet?
International or domestic? I mean, there are plenty of places. Actually, we always joke about going to Canada and checking out the Canadian Rockies up there. This is going to sound crazy because I don't even know if we spoke about this, but I want to do an African safari. I want some real wildlife, not a zoo.
I will say that we do have some international locations on our radar for this season 4. And so we want to just keep growing the show and bringing the beauty of the world into people's living rooms and also inspiring them to get out and see whatever they're able to.
So what can viewers expect to see in season 3?
We went everywhere from Wyoming to New Hampshire to Vermont to Maine to the Georgia coast to New Mexico, lots of different places.
And the best thing about some of the places we've been to, we went, like, for instance, New England during the fall foliage season. So personally, I don't think that there's a better place in this country to experience the fall foliage and see the full richness, the colors of the fall than the New England area. And that was like a sight to behold. I think that's probably going to be one of the top episodes from this season.
As a former resident of the Georgia coast, I can't help but comment that you are back on the Georgia coast in season 3 and you are in Georgia coast in season 2. Must be a place that you guys like.
Yeah. And I think it's important for us, as big as we may get on the international or United States side, I think it's really important for us to keep our Georgia roots here and let our fan base that began in Georgia know that, you know, we're still going to showcase the state.
Yeah, we'll have a Georgia episode every season, no matter how long we go. But we did the Golden Isles this season. And I just love the Georgia coast. I think it's super special. It's only 100 miles long, but it is a beautiful 100 miles and offers tons of photography. And so Paul and I really enjoy getting down there.
All right. Chris Greer and Paul Daniel, hosts of Public Television's Viewfinders, talking about the newest season. Thank you both for coming.
Thank you again for having us.
Thank you so much.
If you're planning to celebrate St. Patrick's Day in Savannah, you're not alone. Savannah's celebration is ranked the 3rd best nationwide, according to a new study by Wallet Hub. The annual parade attracts hundreds of thousands of visitors each year, making it one of the biggest events in the South. The city's festivities scored high for traditions, weather, and affordability, topping major cities like Boston and Philadelphia. Only Chicago and New York ranked higher. And that's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. If you'd like to learn more about these stories, visit gpb.org/news. If you haven't yet hit subscribe on this podcast, take a moment right now and keep us current in your podcast feed. If you have feedback, we'd love to hear it. Email us at georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Orlando Montoya. I hope you have a great weekend.